President Bush leaves tomorrow for his first European trip since moving into the Oval Office. He faces talks with European leaders over two of the most contentious issues of his presidency. The president wants to quickly build a missile defense system. Many U.S. allies don't. The president also infuriated many Europeans when he discarded a treaty to fight global warming. Tom Gelton is NPR's national security correspondent. Good morning, Tom.
Good morning, Steve.
And NPR's Richard Harris has been following the debate over the environment. Good morning to you.
Hi, Steve.
Now, Richard, the president goes to Sweden for a summit on the environment as part of this trip. What have the Europeans been telling him about his early policies on global warming?
Well, he surprised everybody in March by announcing that the U.S. would not go along with the Kyoto Protocol, which was a treaty negotiated in 1997 to establish a worldwide effort to combat global warming. The Europeans are still gung-ho for that treaty. They still want to do it. They need the U.S. to do it with them. You basically need everyone who's a major emitter. The United States contributes 25% of the gases that cause global warming, so it doesn't do much good to have a treaty that leaves the U.S. out. Bush has made it very clear that the U.S. is not interested in that treaty. And the big question is if he can do anything to satisfy the Europeans, because that's still where they've put their investment.
It's interesting that we read last week that the president had commissioned a study on global warming from the National Academy of Sciences before he went and got some results that are maybe not what a conservative would have liked to hear.
That's true. The Academy said that the United Nations scientists who have been proclaiming that global warming is a serious issue are right, and absolutely does not give the administration any cover for backing down on global warming.
So what policies can the president lay out?
Well, I have a feeling he's going to talk about general principles as opposed to policies. I don't think he's going to come with any particular proposal to Europe right now. They have another month, the administration does, before the Kyoto talks continue in Germany, and presumably the U.S. will have to develop a position between now and then about how to interact with the ongoing discussions about how to make the Kyoto Treaty work. So he can't really do anything except tell the Europeans that he still considers global warming a serious issue. He may also talk about some of the domestic policies that the U.S. is trying to develop right now that would address it, but they are far short of what the Kyoto Treaty would call for.
Now, Tom Gelton, presidents go overseas all the time, a lot of pomp, a lot of ceremony, maybe not always very much news, but is it a little bit different to watch this particular president go overseas at this time?
Well, as you said, Steve, this is his first trip to Europe since becoming president, but the truth is it's actually only his second trip to Europe as an adult. So Europeans don't know him very well, and this idea that he is not comfortable or not familiar with the rest of the world is one that does not go down well in Europe. Europeans consider themselves very cosmopolitan. Many of them speak different languages. They travel all over. So the idea that George Bush is coming to Europe for only the second time in his adult life is one that, as I say, doesn't sit well with many Europeans. So I think that one of the top objectives, the top aim, really, of this trip for President Bush is to present himself to the Europeans as a man who should be taken seriously, a president whom they can deal with, one who understands the world. I think that people in the White House are a little concerned that the Europeans have a kind of a caricatured view of him as this cowboy from Texas who likes the death penalty, likes to execute people. And, of course, he's going to be arriving there the day Timothy McVeigh is due to be executed. So that will feed that perception of him as well. But basically, I think the White House on this trip wants George W. Bush to get to know Europeans and for Europeans to get to know him as a president, as a person.
Now, we can assume that if they get into substantive policy discussions here and there, that missile defense may come up. Can you remind us why the European allies don't like the idea of a missile shield that might protect the United States and its allies from a missile attack?
Steve, the one thing that the Europeans in general have not been convinced on yet is the threat that would justify the construction of such an expensive and elaborate system as a global missile defense. The position of the Bush administration is that countries such as North Korea and Iran have plans to develop missiles that are capable of reaching deep into alliance territory. These countries are called rogue nations, which is, I guess, to suggest that they cannot be depended upon as good countries. And the Europeans just have not been convinced that that really is the threat that faces them and the rest of the world in the 21st century. So I think the first thing that Secretary of State Colin Powell was in Europe recently, and Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld was meeting with NATO defense ministers just this past week. The one thing they've really tried to do is persuade their Europeans that there is a threat out there that warrants the construction of the system.
Now, President Clinton, at least officially, favored missile defense, and his officials would go to Europe, and this would come up again and again. What, if anything, is different now?
You know, one of the things that's different now is that the further along we get with this, the more obvious it becomes that it's going to be very difficult to build a missile defense system and to deploy it effectively. The Clinton administration, for example, intended to install 100 interceptor missiles in Alaska by roughly the year 2007-2008. Now, the Bush administration has been told that that is not going to be possible. So we have now an administration that's even more committed to missile defense, moving forward even more quickly than the Clinton administration was, and is already finding out that the plans the Clinton administration had were, if anything, too ambitious. So the basic problem is that a missile defense system is going to be extremely difficult to build.
Let me ask you both about the politics of these two issues, Tom Gelton and Richard Harris. And Richard, we'll start with you. How do domestic politics affect what the president can or can't do in Europe? And how does what he does in Europe maybe affect his standing domestically?
Well, one of the big issues domestically is that the obvious way to deal with the Kyoto Treaty is to put a huge tax on gasoline. And you may recall when President Clinton tried to add 25 cents to the price of gasoline in an era of great prosperity, that was laughed off the table. So the public, even though there's a strong sentiment of environmentalism in this country, there's also a strong sentiment, don't mess with my gas prices. The two are not compatible particularly well. So the domestic policy really does put him in somewhat of a box.
And let me ask you the same question, Tom Gelton, about missile defense. People may be not paying as close a kind of attention to that, but there certainly are political constituencies very interested in it one way or the other.
Well, the Bush administration would like very much to go to Europe on each of these occasions with a sense that the American people are behind him as he promotes the missile defense system. It'll make his argument with Europeans all the more persuasive.
NPR national security correspondent Tom Gelton, thanks very much for speaking with us this morning.
Sure, Steve.
And Richard Harris, NPR science correspondent, thank you.
A pleasure to be here.